Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Doug McIsaac with Online for Offline, and today I have the pleasure of interviewing Stephanie Chandler. Stephanie has been online for about 5 years now and has a number of books and products out there that are a lot of fun, including one of her sites is the Business Info Guide. It's a directory of resources for entrepreneurs, and her company is the Business Growth Connection. .com if you want to check that out. It's a company that specializes in electronic newsletters. But today, Stephanie and I are going to mostly talk about her book, which is one of many, but we're going to talk about From Entrepreneur to Infopreneur. And Stephanie, before we jump in, is there anything else you'd like to add to my brief introduction of you?
That's perfect. I'm an online marketer and author, and this is a fun topic, so I'm thrilled to be here today. Thank you.
That's great. And the reason I wanted you on this call is because you, like me, work with a lot of offline businesses as well as in entrepreneurs, as well as online entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
Where did you get your start? That's kind of off topic from what I said we'd talk about, but where did you get your start online?
No, that's okay. I am a Silicon Valley refugee. I was in corporate America for 11 years, and I actually fainted at a sales conference in Las Vegas on a casino floor, and what had happened was I had developed an ulcer, and I'd been carrying a bottle of Malox around in my briefcase for several months, didn't know what was wrong, and anyway, the incident in Vegas was kind of a life-changing experience for me when I realized it was time to, run quickly. And I knew I wanted to write. I wasn't quite sure how to leave software sales and become a writer, so I opened a bookstore in Sacramento. Everyone thought I'd absolutely lost my mind, and my plan was to sit in the back of it and write novels. And it turned out the only thing I liked about owning a bookstore was the marketing of it. So.
Yep.
And I quickly discovered that what was going to set me apart was marketing online and online sales and all those things. So, and at the same time, I had a lot of people saying, I wish I had that courage to do what you're doing. So I got really passionate about small business and marketing, launched some websites, launched a marketing company, sold the bookstore, and it's kind of taken off from there.
That's awesome. It's so many of the successful online marketers had started that way, where they were so good at marketing their own business that everybody went to them. That's
exactly.
Actually,
yeah.
That's what happened with George as well, my business associate. He had a plumbing company, and did plumbing and boilers, and he figured out used AdWords to drive customers to their to landing page and do the report thing, and that's how he built his business, and they grew and grew and grew until they just couldn't grow anymore because they couldn't get experienced people to help them out. So
that's a phenomenal problem to have.
yes, it is. Can't find enough staff to handle all the customers we have. Let's double our rates. Okay,
yeah.
We double our rates, and we still can't find enough staff to handle.
Yeah, big problem.
That is a great problem to have. Well, let's go back. So I'm a new business owner, and I've had some success with my marketing. If I wanted to, what would be my first step? Would you recommend if I wanted to use information to market my business?
Well, so information and what we're talking about here are things like ebooks, special reports. Recordings, videos, things like that that you can actually either use as a marketing tool or as a revenue stream yourself. And, I'll tell you a little bit about how I got into that. I had launched this website, Business Info Guide, because I wanted to reach entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs. And I published my first book, and I thought, wow, I've got all this other stuff I want to share with people. I want to sell ebooks and reports. So I started doing that. I've got things like a directory of 600 websites that accept article submissions, for example. And so what that has done for me is allowed me to create smaller products rather than an entire, 200-page book. and also build a revenue stream and build repeat clientele. So as a traditional business, you know, as far as I can see, just about anybody can take advantage of this. You know, a great example, I have a client who's a professional organizer. She's got a site educating organizers that she recently launched, and she is selling templates that she used to build her own business. She is selling training services, online training services. That's a great way to really expand into the information product business and, you know, make money while you sleep, essentially.
That's the beautiful thing of when you are selling information products, is that you don't have to do anything. Once it's up, it just keeps rolling. That's one of the beautiful things about doing that. And
yeah,
having,
all you're really doing is keeping those marketing wheels in motion and, you know, bringing people in and, you know, from all over the world. And there's that instant gratification of an immediate download, right? So, and, you know, I sell things like workbooks, and then I sell the ebook version of the workbook, and I probably sell 4 ebooks to everyone hard copy, which I find fascinating because I personally still prefer to have a book in hand. But I think as consumers, we like that instant gratification, and maybe somebody who's surfing the web at 1 in the morning says, oh, I want to look at that now, you know, and so there's just a tremendous opportunity. You know, I've got a catering client who created a beautiful cookbook with downloadable recipes, you know, for serving large parties. It's very unique. So those are some of the ways that you can really leverage your own experience to drive new revenues.
That's great. Yeah, I have a wedding planner client that has a similar type of product, and also one of my best online friends is and business partners has recipesecrets.net, and his whole, I mean, he's got he sold 7 figures in products online because of that website selling
recipes. And I love what you just said, because people don't realize the size of the revenue opportunity out there. You know, you just said 7 figures. That's not uncommon in this, you know, realm.
Oh, absolutely not. And actually, now he's I just about said something about that isn't public knowledge. Needless to say, there's he's getting offline opportunities now as well, and he was on Fox NBC News a couple of weeks ago as well, and he's been on several radio shows now talking about the cookbook that he wrote initially online, and now he sells as a physical product as well. So it's interesting when you can leverage the intellectual property that you have into a business in and of its own.
Yeah, and taking the approach of looking at your business, what do your customers want that you can provide them in the form of information? Or, you know, another great way is to teach people how to do what you do. One of my best sellers is I have a workbook on how to start a bookstore. And that thing sells like hotcakes because there's not a lot of competition out there, and I'm an experienced person who did that. So, you know, if you can take your own knowledge and build a platform and market around that, and you mentioned the Google AdWords.
Yeah.
You know, those are a great tool for marketing, especially niche products. And really focusing on a niche, I think, is key for real success with products online.
That's right. Now, what do you tell somebody if they say, well, I'm not an expert?
Oh, I think we are all experts, and that is, I hate to hear that, because I think we're all experts at something. You know, maybe you run a customer service call center. That makes you an expert in call centers and in customer service. You know more than the average person about that business. And therefore, you could take that and you could teach other people how to run a call center or how to manage call center employees or how to start a call center or how to staff a call center. I mean, there's so many opportunities in that. So I really think that we are all experts in what we know best. You know, the trick is to continue to cultivate that expertise. You know, I never want to sit idle. I'm constantly reading, you know, researching my industry, subscribing to industry publications. You know, really take that seriously and own it But you know, don't discredit yourself. You're an expert in what you know best.
That's right. And one of the steps I'll do with an offline business owner, if I'm working with them and they say that to me, is I'll say, well, when customers come and ask you questions, what types of questions, what kind of answers do you give them? And then they'll say, well, you know, it depends on the question. I'm like, I know, but, you know, tell me your 10 most common questions. Write those down. Now write your 10 most common responses to that. And I'm like, you've now proven you're an expert in your subject matter.
And you know what? That could be a product right there. Those questions could reveal a product opportunity. That's great. I love that you asked that.
Well, that's always a good way to go. And if nothing else, I mean, that's a great training tool for their sales staff, their customer service staff as well. What other things would you recommend somebody do if they wanted to kind of step out and show that they were an expert in their field? Once they did decide, okay, I do know what I'm talking about, what would you do to kind of step out there?
Well, a number of things. I think you need to first create your expert tagline or some sort of designation for what it is you specialize in. So whether you're the dry cleaning expert or the service business guru, whatever you want to call yourself, you need to own that title and start printing it with everything. The media is looking online for sources now. I think everyone should have a blog. A blog is such an incredible, powerful tool. The search engines love blogs. They get priority because the content is updated on a regular basis. The best thing about my blog is it lands me media coverage all the time because you start to talk about the same things. Recently I've been blogging about rejecting the recession. You know, I really believe we have an opportunity to kind of rise above it, and our competition is feeling kind of weak. We can really see some opportunities here, and that's landed me a number of media interviews in the last couple of months because these reporters get out and they search for, you know, people, experts that are talking about business in the recession. So I think you have to own your title and really put it out in the world, get published, put articles in print, do things like this, host radio shows or podcasts that you load up to iTunes. Anybody can do that. And start to really build your platform as an expert in your field, whatever that may be.
That's great. Yeah, you need to, it's really just deciding, making the decision that, yes, you are an expert, and stepping out there and telling people that you are an expert.
Yeah, and get it in print, and there's nothing better than media coverage, I'll tell you, to really grow a business and build your credibility, getting quoted and being able to say, you know, as seen in Inc. magazine or Entrepreneur or whatever the case. That's a really great boost to the credibility factor there.
Certainly, and then being in a lot of communities, it's very easy to get on local media.
Oh, always, always, always. I have another client just yesterday, she's launching a big national book, and she said, "Well, I don't even want to bother with local media." No, you have to start with your local media. That's in the sales term. That's low hanging fruit, right? They're gonna cover you. So take whatever media coverage you can get, and be grateful for it.
Most assuredly, yeah. If you can get it in with a lot of local business, if you have a local business, it's very valuable for you to have that local advertising to drive people into your store.
Yeah, that connection. When I owned that store, the day we turned profitable was the day we got coverage in the local newspaper. You know, they gave us a big, you know, front of the neighborhood section spread, and the store just took off from there. So do not underestimate the value of publicity. And, you know, locally also, for offline and online business, being known in your area as a speaker has a huge advantage. If you're comfortable with public speaking, get out and talk to your local trade associations and get known in your area as an expert in your industry. What a great way to build a business.
Definitely is running. Anything you can do to step yourself out there and get more people talking about you,
yeah,
well, in good ways, is what you want to do. You know, actually, it's going to be a little off topic, but I liked your posts about rejecting the recession, and I think we're in alignment in our thinking that, I mean, right now there are a ton of opportunities.
Yeah.
In recessionary times, historically, the businesses that have been smart about their marketing during recessions have come out of those recessions far stronger than their opponents, I guess, than the other companies.
Yeah, there's been many studies shown that you have to market through it. I mean, this is the worst time to cut back on your marketing budget, which is what a lot of companies immediately do, and that is exactly what you don't want to do.
What do you tell your clients or a new client that comes in that's worried about the economy right now? What would you tell them first?
I say we have to do things a little bit differently. We have to get creative. I believe that marketing is an investment in your business that should pay for itself. So if your marketing isn't working for you, isn't generating the kind of business that it should be, then you need to try new strategies. Online marketing is a great opportunity. The pay-per-click ads, people don't realize how affordable that can be, and it's the kind of marketing that can really pay for itself. I have a client who owns a limousine company, and he called me all excited last week because they used the pay-per-click ads online, and he just had his best month he's ever had in 5 years in business. He had to shut his ads down because he didn't have enough people to cover how much business they were getting. So, you know, and this is in a recession when people aren't purchasing luxury services like limousines. So, you know, tell me he's not getting an advantage over his competition right now. This is an opportunity for us to be creative, do things differently. If your competition is curling up in fear, you know, you can step out and really grow your business right now.
Yeah, this is definitely a great time to step forward. And especially, you know, you had a key point there that, you know, your marketing needs to pay for itself.
Yeah.
And it's time to focus on, you know, results-based marketing. And online marketing, it's all about results. I mean, we can track everything online. That's why online marketing is so great.
Yeah.
I also have a direct mail background, so I'm a big fan of direct mail and direct, you know, any type of direct marketing that's trackable and quantifiable. I mean, is very, very smart, and that's where money's going. I mean, in today's market, dollars are running away from the yellow book, you know, the old yellow page ads. They're leaving that. They're moving away from TV and radio and newspapers. They're going, you know, the biggest areas of spend going up are online marketing and your direct mail marketing.
Absolutely. And email marketing, that's why my company specializes in it, because it is trackable and we realize the opportunity there. To really grow a business by cultivating your relationship with your clients. And I, too, am a fan of direct mail. I especially like postcards because they pop out at you in a stack of mail. But the other thing is what I see a lot of businesses do is put all their effort into maybe one marketing strategy when really you should have multiple strategies going on at any given time. And and keep them going even when you get busy, because the minute you stop, that's the minute things slow down and you're sorry you didn't keep those marketing wheels turning. So you should always have your marketing wheels turning.
And you never know, you know, you need to be tracking which ones are the best, but still it's like if it's at least breaking even or making a little bit of money, you want to keep it going.
Yeah, then that means it's working, exactly.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, the ones you're losing money on, you need to go look at and see if there's a way you can make them profitable. But the ones that you're at least breaking even on one of your marketing methods, then you want to keep that one going as long as you can.
Yeah.
Let's talk about email marketing and newsletter, you know, online newsletters and email marketing. That's a good piece to talk about as well for us here.
Yeah.
How would How do you recommend somebody get started with online newsletter and email marketing?
You know, depending on your budget, it's very easy to get started yourself. Right now, there's a lot of services out there. Constant Contact is one we like. We have a business partnership with them. There's iContact. There's Exact Target Software. There's a lot of choices for getting started. And the thing about email marketing is that you want to use a tool that gives you the ability to track how many people are opening your messages, how many are clicking through to your website, all those things. The industry average for email marketing is about a 25% open rate. You know, you compare that with direct mail, where you're looking at 5 to 10%, email marketing is pretty good, and the key there is really creating something of interest to your audience. So I see a lot of maybe real estate industry missing the boat on that. We're sending out real estate news to a consumer market. We don't want real estate news. We want, you know, human interest stuff. Give me a tip on where to go on vacation and get a good deal, things like that. So the key is really developing something of interest for your audience, and in a retail setting or a restaurant setting, it's about discounts, giving coupons and special offers. That's the kind of thing that are going to keep people reading your messages.
Right. It's providing tips and tricks and asking questions, you know, what would you like to know more about?
Yeah, have it be interesting, and don't inundate people. That's another big mistake I'm seeing, where people are taking advantage of the fact that they have a mailing list and they're sending messages out twice a week. That's the quickest way to exhaust your list and have people unsubscribe or, worse, report you as a spammer. You don't want to be reported as a spammer, because then your email messages aren't going to get through at all. So you really want to respect the people who take the interest to sign up on your mailing list, and respect the Canned Spam Compliance Act, which means that you have to be very careful about who you're adding to your list. It's got to be somebody who's agreed to receive email from you. You can't just add email addresses off business cards you collected at the Chamber of Commerce meeting. That's a violation of the Compliance Act.
It is. There's two sides that I chuckle about on this. One is that everybody thinks that they can do that.
I know,
you know.
It's a big pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, it's like, you know, where they just do that, and that's not right. But the other side of it is, you know, it's easier to get somebody's phone call and give them a phone call, or much easier to send them a piece of the mail than it is to send them an email, as far as the law is concerned. It's kind of funny. That's fine, you know. I mean, I agree with it. I mean, I get enough stuff as it is, you know, it's gotten a little bit better with all the different spam filters that are available now, but it still is ridiculous how much we get hammered.
Yeah, email is a challenge for all of us with the spam and the amount of stuff, and we're really having to be competitive to keep people's attention in email. So that's where quality is really, really important, you know. And I see a lot of businesses, big businesses, sending out email that I think is kind of embarrassing. It doesn't reflect the quality or the image of the company. It's kind of done in a, you know, not as a professional of a format as it should be. So those are some mistakes you want to avoid. You want to really do it right.
Yeah, you do. You want to, you know, whether it's a good-looking layout or a good information, and, you know, the worst thing, the quickest way to get someone to unsubscribe is send them off-topic information.
Yeah, just junk, or send it too frequently, things like that. That's a big problem. Get an offer in there, because, you know, always be selling, right?
Yeah. What percentage do you say? I know some of the guys say 70-30, some go 80-20. I mean,
I'm a 70-30. I think it should be 70% content, 30% sales. But, yeah, I think content is really important, because, again, it's keeping their attention. But especially in this economy right now, people really are into discounts. So if you've got a special offer, always get it in there.
Right. Yeah. People are paying attention. People are paying attention to discounts and ways they can save money right now. But that's like we talked about a real estate list. I mean, if you're in real estate, you should be telling people how they can save money on their heating bill.
Exactly.
Or,
it doesn't have to be directly related to your industry. It just has to appeal to your audience.
That's right. That's right. I recommend my clients to a lot of joint ventures and reaching out to people that communicate to the same audience.
Mm-hmm.
Good example, I've got a computer tech and a telephone guy that work together. And those guys, they have the exact same audience, so that works out really well for them to communicate, to share their customers and communicate back and forth.
Great.
Now, let's see, what direction should we go here? You talked about marketing your information products directly to customers. Now, how do you do that? Just online? Do you do it in your store as well? How do you do that?
Sure. One example, there's a gal I know, Amy Lawrence, who owns a company called An Afternoon to Remember. It's a tea shop up here in the Sacramento area, and she's publishing her own cookbooks and things like that. So
okay.
You can order them from her website, or you can come in to her shop and buy them. And what a brilliant way to not only market her business, and but also to add revenue streams to her company. So, if you have a commercial location, you should absolutely take advantage of that and cross-promote from your website to your physical storefront and things like that. You mentioned partnering with people. That's a wonderful way to market. Partner with somebody online who reaches your target audience. Maybe you swap ads in each other's newsletters, or you co-promote a product launch together. You can pay affiliate fees for somebody to sell your products for you. So there's many, many opportunities to build those revenue streams.
Affiliate fees are something we should. Do you want to describe affiliate fees? So most of my listeners are familiar, but some it's a new concept.
Sure, an affiliate fee. For example, let's say you have a training system that you sell for $50. You could set up an affiliate program so that if somebody else refers a sale of that training system, they earn $20, and so you're paying them back $20 for in exchange for them promoting it and sending you sales. And you can set up affiliate programs with your shopping cart program if you're using something like OneShoppingCart.com. There are certain online services where you can set up affiliate programs for info products like ClickBank.com or pay.com, so those are a couple of options. And I can talk a little bit about e-commerce too. Setting up your sales online, whether you use a major shopping cart tool or something like, I really like Payloads, which is PayLoads.com. That's a service that will allow you to import your ebooks, reports, videos, MP3 files, and set up a shopping cart for your website so that you can process sales. So when somebody comes to buy your ebook, it automatically collects their payment information, and then once that's processed, the buyer receives an email with instructions on how to download what they just purchased. And then that download link actually expires in a few days. So it's great for security reasons. And you pay a small percentage to Payloads in exchange for handling those transactions. So that's a great way to get started with ebooks or reports or selling recordings and things like that. Another example of marketing with these products, one of the local karate places here in town publishes a DVD that's a demo of their training classes. And they leave these all over town, and I think it's really smart. You can pick one up at the car wash or on the counter at the local gift shop, And it's a great introduction to their business, and it shows people, wow, this is what my kid will get from attending this class. That's a great way to market with information.
That is a great way. Yeah, this, and with what it costs to do a DVD anymore, I mean, what are they, 40 cents?
It's so affordable, yeah.
That's the beautiful thing about anything that's visual like that.
Yeah.
Can really, really benefit from that, or even I have people that I recommend. We do stuff with all the on YouTube and YouTube and pushing out to all the other video sites. We've had gotten really good traction with some videos on that. My wedding planner I work with has gotten a lot of really good traction by putting videotaping her weddings and talking about the themes and why they went with that, and we've pushed those out all over the place, and we've gotten really good traction from that. So
yeah,
you just need to. Sorry, cut you off there.
No, that's okay. That is a great way. If you've got a way to visually represent your business and it's interesting or funny or controversial, that is a fantastic way to market.
Okay, let's. We've got about 14 minutes remaining here. Let's talk about three action steps somebody could take today to kind of to start using information to market their business. Kind of go back and recap. What would be the three steps you'd recommend somebody take today to get started?
Well, you really need to build your online platform, because if you don't have an audience, you're not going to be able to sell anything. So whether that's launching a website or a blog, you know, whatever you're most comfortable with, but start to reach your audience, find a way to reach your audience, where are they spending their time, and then create your first product. I see a lot of people get stuck. I've got all these ideas. Well, then, you know, start putting your ideas into action, right, and pick one. You don't have to launch 10. You can start with one and set aside the time. And we all know how challenging that is with, you know, life and family and business to take over. But, you know, the way I got started with my books is I would carve out an hour every night to write. And today that's a little more difficult. I actually check into a hotel about every 6 weeks to get writing done. But do what works for you to get this stuff accomplished. And and then get your e-commerce set up, whether it's, you know, the shopping cart system or a service like Payloads, and begin, you know, marketing. Look at the pay-per-click opportunities with Google. Yahoo's got a pretty good pay-per-click service as well. And pay-per-click, you're paying for that top placement in the search engines. So you can set a budget and you can really play with that and find the right keywords. The key is to finding keywords that aren't too expensive, because it is getting pretty competitive. But even, let's say you're paying a dollar for each click-through to your site, but your revenue generated is $30, and you're converting a high percentage of those click-throughs, that's probably going to be worthwhile for you to spend the dollar on the click. So it's really a matter of testing your ads and your landing pages and converting those clicks into sales, and you can really generate a ton of revenue. So those would be my best action steps, to just launch something.
It's true. Getting something done and getting working on it. Well, we do have, for people on the call that aren't familiar, we do have, George has a series of AdWords videos, including doing keyword research on online for offline. And since that's George's background, and he's working on another series of some new tricks that he's learned from managing millions of dollars in clicks and millions of clicks over the years. So he's going to have some new tips and tricks available as well.
That's valuable, because it is a little bit confusing to get started with that. So if anybody's thinking about it, that's a great resource.
Oh, and it's I've bought most of the paid tools out there, and I was very impressed with what George put together. I've been through Perry Marshall's course as well, so I'm you know, I've done a lot of AdWords as well, but George is light years beyond my skills. Which the only way you get there is from managing clicks. I mean, it's the only way you get to the level that someone like him is at, is from managing, actually spending time managing clicks. Because it's there's a science to it, but once you get to certain levels, it becomes an art.
Yeah, true.
I want to go back to when you said build your online platform and finding your audience. That's really great. What recommendations would you give somebody for finding out where their audience hangs out?
Well, you know, one good place to look is the social networking sites, which are really becoming a more and more viable marketing opportunity. So sites like Facebook and LinkedIn are a great place to start. You can join online groups where your target audience is spending time, or you know, if you really want to showcase your expertise, start a group. Start a group on, you know, butterflies or you know, gardening, whatever your expertise is, and attract that audience. The social networking sites, you're connecting with other people, and they're able to see notes and things that you post to your profile, so you really want to take advantage of that and be active there. And you can also do paid ads on these sites that you can target based on certain keywords, so that's certainly worth trying out as well. Other ways to find your audience, you know, what are they reading? What trade associations do they belong to? One of my favorite marketing strategies online is marketing with articles. If you're someone who likes to write, or if you want to hire a ghostwriter, you can submit articles, you know, literally across hundreds of websites, and have those link back to your site and really start to build your exposure online. And there's hundreds of directories where you can submit your articles for free. I'll give you my two favorites for those interested in doing that. I use ideamarketers.com, and that's ideamarketers.com, and ezinearticles.com. Ezinearticles.com, those are my two favorites. But I literally make it a practice to publish one or two articles a month, and I push them out to, dozens and dozens of websites. And then I also send them to print publications, so trade association newsletters, smaller business publications. In my case, those are great resources for me. And I send them with a note that says, "You're welcome to reprint this article, provided the author bio is included." And my articles have appeared in probably by now thousands of publications across, you know, all continents, I would imagine at this point.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of using articles, and easing articles, the reach, the reach of having articles there is amazing. And you know, people do search for your subject, and you can end up showing up. Your easing article can end up showing up right on the front page of Google for you, even in some very competitive markets.
And it's, you know, and it's secretly also building your rankings with the search engines, because the more websites that are publishing your articles, the more links you have pointing back to your site, and that helps with your search engine optimization. So it really is an excellent strategy for marketing.
Yeah, it's great. Article marketing is a great, inexpensive way to do it. And for people that don't have a lot of budget, it's a great place to start.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely great place to start. And Idea Marketers has got, that's more tightly focused on business folks, isn't it? I'm trying to
No, they do. They have all the categories and also lots of great exposure. I think she's getting 1 million hits a day on that site.
Oh, that's awesome.
Pretty impressive.
I'm familiar with it, but I haven't published anything with them yet. Now, for finding, do you have any tips for finding print newsletters and print publications for people to submit to?
Yeah, it's really all about getting online and doing the research. You know, try keyword combinations. Let's say you're a chiropractor. I mean, you probably know of what your main trade associations are. That's the first place to start, is you know, contact the newsletter editor or look and see what the article submission requirements are. But get on there and on Google and start searching for, you know, chiropractor group, chiropractor association, various combinations, chiropractor newsletter. You'd be amazed what comes up there. And even if you find a small publication that's only reaching a few hundred people, that's a few hundred people you weren't reaching before, that it's a very targeted audience that you're trying to reach, right? And with something like an article that you're submitting for reprint, it's no skin off your back to, you know, copy that editor when you're submitting articles out through email. So it's just investing the time. And another thing I like to do, a little tip here, whenever I publish a new article, I create a Google alert. Those are free. I create a Google alert based on the article title. So once a week I get notified where my articles are appearing online, and that's pretty cool to kind of keep track of who's publishing my stuff.
That is great, because if you go look at it at some place that you want your stuff more often, you can contact the owner of that website directly.
Definitely.
And definitely find out if they have an offline newsletter or you know, tell them that you'd be willing to submit stuff to them directly. You can also social bookmark those articles to give a little bit more link back to your website.
Definitely, and link them to sites like Digg, D-I-G-G, and the social networking and Web 2.0 is just phenomenal, the opportunities we have. So, and it's content is king online. So the more you can create, you know, and don't forget to publish this on your own website. The more content you have on your own site, the better. It gives the search engine more reasons to find you. And I'm also a big believer in free information. I mean, share resources with your audience and your visitors. It gives them a reason to come back to your site again and again.
That's right. Yeah, you've got, the more free stuff you have, the more they want to come back and find out what's going on, and they look at you as an expert.
Exactly. What new article has she added this month? Oh, you know, what new resources are up there? That's a great reason for people to become very loyal visitors.
That's right. Now, one more question here. Actually, I've got a dozen, but we have a couple minutes here. Do you have any recommendations for self-publishing? For someone who, they've got an ebook together, they're selling it online, but now they'd like to self-publish it. Do you have any recommendations there?
Yes. Self-publishing in the traditional sense is an arduous process. You have to purchase an ISBN number, you have to get your book laid out, you have to get a cover designed. There's a lot of things, a lot of steps you need to take. However, if you have the time and inclination to do that, pick up Dan Pointer's book, The Self-Publishing Manual. It is fantastic. But I am a fan of POD, which is print on demand publishing, where you work with a company that kind of does a lot of that legwork for you. And you'll pay a little bit more per copy, but it's going to save you time in the long run. I think self-publishing, if you're going to do it, you like everything else, you need to do it right. You need to hire an editor. You need to get a professional cover design. I mean, the quickest way to kill your publishing career is to have a book that looks like a self-published book. It's pretty easy to tell these days, because just about everybody is publishing something. But if you're going to do it right. Don't rely on the bookstores to sell it for you. It's, again, leverage your online marketing venues. My newest book actually is The Author's Guide to Building an Online Platform, Leveraging the Internet to Sell More Books. And the key really is, like everything else, it's marketing, it's finding your audience, and it's getting it into their hands. But if you're relying on your local bookstore to make you rich from your books, it's not going to happen. The authors really need to take control of the marketing.
Definitely. I chuckle when people think that all they have to do is write a book, send it in, and they're going to get rich.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the biggest myth there is. Whether you self-publish or get published with a major publisher, the money that authors make is ridiculously low, but unless they make it to the bestseller list, that book really is the best business card you can have.
Yes.
So if you do publish a book, you know, use it for other opportunities. Use it to land speaking engagements or to, you know, reel in new clients, things like that. Look for ways you can use it to build other opportunities.
That's a great thing. That's a great comment to kind of end this call on. We've got about 20, 30 seconds left. But using your information as your business card to help you get more business, whether that's your book, a written book especially, or electronic products. Well,
yeah.
I want to thank – sorry, I cut you off. But thank you for being on the call, Stephanie. This has been a blast, and we are just about offline here.
Thanks, Doug.
And you're welcome. And we are now offline. I really I appreciated the call. It was fun.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
It's always good getting out and chatting with people and, you know, kind of rolling back through. And, you know, I should probably have a more focused outline, but it's more fun this way for me on calls.
That's fine.
So, we kind of ran down a couple of paths, but I think we kept things. You know, it was all on using information to market your business.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I can hop around on just about anything, so that was fun. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Well, I will. Might track you down on LinkedIn.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, so we can connect, and if there's anything I can ever help you with, just let me know.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks so
all
much,
right.
Doug. Good luck with everything.
All right, you take care.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.